Amen. Praise God. I agree with all those words Pastor Robert just said. Praise God. Recession does not have to affect us. We can be blessed even in this time. And it happens how? By our faith, which is our subject matter here at High Point Church for the first 6 months of this year. Praise God. I believe we're on kind of the tail end of it, and the Lord's moving me kind of in a different direction, but it's been good. It's been something that we've been learning a lot about that I believe is vital to the success of a Christian. Our faith. Amen? Our most precious spiritual commodity that we have in our possession that the devil is all the time trying to steal from us is our faith. So we've got to hold on to it, hold fast to our confession, don't let go, continue to trust and believe in the Lord. And in doing so, we start to reap what the Lord says is for us. Amen? Let me go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like to pray as well as we get into today's message. Father, I thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have given us this precious faith. This faith that believes in you and promises that we can aim our faith towards. Lord, you're the giver of all these things. It's all a gift of God. But Lord, we thank you that you've given us the wherewithal. You've given us the strength and the capacity to receive more of that grace that you've already provided by simply believing in what you've said. So we thank you, Lord, that you're establishing us in this. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here today to teach us, to lead us, to guide us into all the truth concerning this precious faith that we have. And I thank you today that, Lord, you're going to help us to understand it more clearly and walk in it more fully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to take you to three passages of Scripture today, three accounts in the Gospels. And the first thing I want you to do is turn over to Luke chapter 9. As I said, we have been studying the subject of faith this year. And most recently, we have been looking at the various examples we have in the four Gospels of certain individuals that came to the Lord in faith and received the grace that He had in His power to give them. Amen? And we've been learning a lot of awesome things about these people, is that in almost all of these examples, first of all, Jesus was not the one that approached them. They approached Jesus. Amen? So what that shows us is, a lot of times what faith is going to do is it's not sitting there waiting on the Lord to come to them. Faith is going to get to Him however they need to. Amen? And so we've looked at a lot of different examples of that. And I really want to establish something to you this morning as we get into this particular story, because there's a lot of confusions about faith. And even the particular title that we have for this series, that your faith can make you whole, is a very confusing one to a lot of people. It's actually can be a condemning statement to a lot of people that maybe have not received everything that the Lord says they can have. A lot of times people don't like it because it puts the responsibility on them. And how many of you know, we live in a society today that loves to blame shift and put the responsibility on somebody else. That it's basically not my own choices and things that I've decided in my life and things that I've said concerning the events that happened, but no, society, the world today, tells us that we are the way we are because of maybe what our earthly father did to us, or our mother that she didn't do for us, or somebody else did some kind of horrendous act in our life. And so basically it pushes all of that on there. But the truth of the matter is this, is that we can choose life and blessing. And that promise is not given with any qualifications on it. It's something that you and I can choose to rise up out of any situation we've gone through. Maybe it is, as Pastor Robert said, we didn't have a good earthly father. Maybe it is that we had an absent mother in our life. Maybe it is that we had these kind of situations. But we can choose, no matter what situation we might have been dealt in life, to have all aces, praise God, through our choice and through our faith. And that's important to get, because if we don't believe that, we're going to have a hard time ever receiving it. Amen? So we need to understand that. We need to receive those things just like these individuals did in all these stories that we've looked at. And the fact is, even though faith is the way in which we receive God from God, we need to understand something, though, about all that, is that we're saved by what? Grace, yet we're saved through faith. Amen? How many of you know I'm quoting from the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, that we're saved by grace through faith? That is a great detailed explanation of how to see how all this works. Sure, it's the grace of God had to be provided. If God never promised it, if it was never something that the Lord has even made available to us, your faith is never going to receive anything from the Lord if He hasn't already made it available. Amen? So it's by grace, but we can't ignore the fact that it's through faith. And one of my favorite examples I like to use of that is, how about your own salvation? The thing that got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the thing that got you your ticket to heaven, that made you a child of God, right? How did that get brought to pass in your life? Well, Jesus had to come 2,000 years ago. Grace had to be provided. The Lord had to hang on that cross. He had to become our sin. He had to be buried in that tomb. He had to be raised from the dead, and on the third day, be raised to life again, and then afterwards go and sit at the right hand of the Father. That had to happen first. But how many of you know, if one on this earth today doesn't believe in that work of grace, then guess what they ain't gonna have in their life? Salvation. We've got to believe in the grace that's been provided. So that's how all this works, amen, is that we, through our faith, receive all the grace that God has for us, amen. And what have we learned? Is that this grace that He's provided, this sozo, this salvation, is not just our ticket to heaven. It also includes healing, deliverance, prosperity, liberation, and the list goes on is what this word describes. So that's what you end up seeing in these Gospels with all these individuals. They had children that were demonized. They had physical infirmities. And these people came to the Lord in faith, and the Lord would look at them time and time again and say, "Your faith has made you sozo." Amen? So whether this isn't a popular subject to people or not, this is true, and this is how it works, and that's why the Lord has given us these examples. So I want us to look at another example today. We're going to look at the healing or the deliverance of the boy with epilepsy. Y'all familiar with this passage of Scripture? It's in three of the four Gospels. And the first one I want us to look at is in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Now, I'm going to read through these stories, and I'm just going to kind of comment as the Holy Spirit inspires, because there's a lot of good points, and I could keep you here till mid-afternoon teaching on these three different accounts. But I won't... Oh, you're excited about that, Pastor Robert. Well, me and him will hang around. The rest of y'all can go to the buffet. Praise God. You know, you got Scripture for that? You know that? Going to the buffet for church lunch? You know why? Paul said, "I buffet my body." Praise God. Amen. Luke 9, 27. Look at this. It says, "Now it happened on the next day," notice this phrase, "when they had come down from the mountain, and a great multitude met him." Now, if you read right before this, you find out what that mountain was. It's what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember this example where Jesus went up on the mountain, He took His closest disciples with Him, Moses and Elijah appears to Him, and the glory of the Lord hit Jesus in such a way, and the glory that was on the inside of Him came out in such a way that He shone like the light of the sun. The glory of God was all over Him. To the point to where we'll read in one of these examples that when He came down from that mountain and showed up on the scene in this story, that the people were amazed when they saw Him. Why do you think they were amazed? Maybe Jesus still had a little bit of that glory on Him, just like Moses did when he came down from his mount. Amen? And the glory was shining off of Him. And this is an important point to what we're going to ultimately get to in this story, because things like that are what prepare us for situations like this. So let's look at it. Verse 38, "Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him." Say, bruising him. Now, you know what's interesting here is the word that's used for bruise here is the same Greek word that's used over in Paul's writings when he talked about how God, the God of peace, will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's the same word that's used for bruising here. Why do I bring that out? It's to show you this. Oftentimes, the devil will attempt to do in our lives and in our children's lives what is soon and very soon going to happen to him. You see it all the time. He inflicts his wrath on us and afflicts God's children because he knows his time is short. So how does that help us? Well, how about this? When you are suffering in any way, if you're dealing with something to where he is coming at you like that, what's one of the best things you can do? Remind the devil that, yeah, devil, do your best right now because I know what my inheritance is in the future. Yet, for all eternity, you're going to experience this forever. Amen. I mean, reminding the devil, praise God, that what his future is. When he tries to tell you, it ain't going to work, you're going to die, I'm going to take you out, and he does all those kind of things, the lies that he's constantly pouring into us, what do? We remind him of his future. Even when he tries to remind you of your past. Well, you missed it. You did all these things wrong. You weren't the father you should have been. Well, just remind the devil of where he's going in the future. Praise God. Into the pit forever and ever. Well, I can tell that didn't resonate with many of you, so let's keep going. Verse 40. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. Now, don't skip over that statement right there. Because what you see in the ministry of Jesus time and time again is Jesus evidently expected more out of mankind than the results they were getting. How about this one? Jesus is in the stern of the boat sleeping, and the storm comes. He'd already told him to get to the other side. And what does he say? Where is your faith? It's almost as if Jesus was expecting his disciples to speak to the storm just like he did and get the results to get to the other side. Now, that's powerful to me because these guys hadn't been born again yet, nor had they been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Yet he expected more out of them. What do you think he might expect us who are born again, spirit-filled children of God today? I mean, I think he expects a little bit more out of us than maybe the results we're getting. And we don't take that as condemnation. We take that as encouragement. That, man, I'm capable of a little bit more because God's put the goods in me. Amen. He's put the goods in you. And then he says this, and as he was still coming... the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and notice this phrase, and gave him back to his father. Now, one of the things we're learning on Wednesday evenings is how to get the manna, the revelation, out of the Word of God. In other words, don't just read it literally like you're trying to get an education. But read it as it is in truth, the living and powerful Word of God. And as I read this phrase right here, I got a rhema for you today. All of you out there who have children that are out there living for the devil, maybe are afflicted in a similar way, you have a promise from the Lord right here that when the Lord rebuked that unclean spirit, he healed the child and gave him back to his father. I believe the season is coming where the Lord is giving back the children to their fathers. So you can just take a promise like that and say, thank you, Lord, you're healing my child. And thank you, Lord, you're giving him back to me in Jesus' name. That's a good word for Father's Day, isn't it? Praise God. So let's go over to Mark 9. Mark 9, we're going to spend a little bit more time. I don't know about y'all. I'm already glad I came this morning. I'm feeling pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 9, we're going to spend a little bit more time in Mark 9 and also Matthew 17, because there's some great examples of faith in this particular story. And I'm so thankful that this particular story is in the Bible, because if it wasn't in here, we have all kinds of room for wrong belief systems, wrong doctrines in the church. Because I want you to notice here in Mark 9, verse 14, it says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?'" Now listen, we can only speculate here of what they were actually talking about. The religious guys, the scribes, were discussing with the disciples. And I can guarantee you it revolved something around this, because they had just prayed for this young boy and he didn't get healed. So I can only imagine their discussions probably revolved around the same thing we have discussed in the church today. "Well, you must have had some sin in your life, and that's why it didn't happen. Or maybe it's just not God's will that this come to pass. And the fact that you prayed for him and he didn't get healed proves that it must not be God's will to heal everybody." This might have been where that very doctrine came from that we hear preached in the church today. But thank God for Jesus. Say, thank God for Jesus. Because Jesus showed up on the scene and completely dispelled any wrong notion, wrong belief system that anybody could ever have with what his acts were when he showed up. Praise God. Let's look at it. "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he," Jesus, "asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?'" Now, put yourself in this story. Jesus starts walking towards this kid, and the demon saw him. He knew who this guy was. And the demon immediately throws him into one of these seizures, right? Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever seen an epileptic seizure, It's a frightening thing. It'll make all the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And I guarantee you that there was a temptation, not only in Jesus, but in his disciples before him, to see what was happening here. And that is what ended up crippling them from getting the results they did. But I love what Jesus did. The demon fully manifests in front of him, and he turns to the Father and says, "How long has this been happening to him?" It's almost as if Jesus turns his back on this big display that the devil's having and just basically starts getting more information and just casually asks the Father something else. What can we learn from that? I think far too many of us give far too much attention to what the devil's doing. The devil loves to just come before you and just make a show, and the pride that's in him that got him in the position that he's in today, the pride that's in him loves what? The attention. And one of the best things you can ever do to somebody that's full of pride that wants you to look at them and talk about them is ignore them. And I believe that's something we need to do a little bit more of. Now, we might think we're doing that, but I'm telling you, when we sit there and talk so much about all the bad things that are going on in the world, or the bad things that are going on in our life or in their life or whatever, when we're giving more attention to that and talking more about that than we are about what the Lord has done, in other words, when we talk more about what the devil's doing than what Jesus has done, we're giving him far too much attention. Amen? So Jesus doesn't do it, because when you turn your back on the thing that will fuel the unbelief, you're positioning yourself to stay in faith. So he turns his back and just basically asks this question, how long has this been happening to him? I also have written in my Bible, waiting on direction. What do you mean by that? I mean that Jesus did not walk in the omniscience and omnipotence of God. People think that because he was the Son of God that he did everything with this unfair advantage. But it's not true. He did everything he did as a spiritually alive man filled with the Holy Spirit. So in a lot of situations, Jesus had to get from the Holy Spirit what he needed for the situation. So right here, I believe he asked that question because he didn't necessarily have it yet. And so the information then comes during that time. Notice this. And then it said, the guy answers from childhood. And verse 22, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But notice this phrase. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know what that guy was doing right there? He was doing what the vast majority of Christians still do today. Throw it all over on the Lord. If it's going to get done, it's going to be God. God, if you're able to do it, we might not word it like that, but that's really what we mean. God, if you can do anything here, we're just throwing it over on you to let you do it. It's kind of, I used this example before. Say I asked Daniel, hey, Daniel, come on up here and help me move this pulpit. And then Daniel gets up and comes up here, and I go over here and sit down. Well, I didn't really mean help me. I meant do it for me. And that's where a lot of Christians are. We don't want to work together with God. We just want God to fix it. We want God to do it. And I love this because when he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, I love how Jesus responded because he didn't let this father throw it all on him. His response was what? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I don't like to get too much into these things, particularly on Sunday morning, but I think this is an important point. There are some that are smarter than me in the original language of the Bible that say that certain Greek manuscripts that the early New Testament were written in say something more like this, is that when the Lord responds, let's go back to the previous verse, Mary, verse 23, if you can believe, that it basically says, if you can, and then it says, all things are possible to him who believes. It's just like it throws that phrase, if you can, in there. And so I've heard it said that some people believe that really what Jesus was saying was this. The guy's question, or it wasn't a question, but it was a statement, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and heal us, it was as if Jesus was responding, if I can, what do you mean, if I can? All things are possible to him who believes. And that's the truth. Isn't that awesome? All things are possible. To who? Him who believes. Now again, we throw out all the time and we say things, and it is important to understand that God is the one where the power comes from. And yes, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Yes, there's nothing too difficult for him. Yes, God is able. However, we can't escape the fact Jesus actually said here that all things are possible not to God, but to you if you just believe God. And what that verse tells me is, if I can believe God for it, I can have exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think. I'm quoting to you a Bible verse, amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. That's the key. The faith that we choose to believe God with on the inside of us. And you know, I've shared our testimony about this because this is something that the Lord really had to correct me on one time. When we were believing God for Shannon to be able to stay at home with Levi when he was born in Colorado. When that happened, I'll tell you, in the natural, according to the money thing, we weren't able to do that. And I went to the Lord about it, and I just said, Lord, this is our heart. We would love for this to be the way. This is what Shannon feels like her calling is. So, Lord, we need this. And the Lord speaks to me and tells me not to limit Him and that I need to begin to believe bigger and see further. And what that was indicating was I wasn't believing bigger and I wasn't seeing far enough. I was limiting God in the way in which He could provide. Because why? I saw my paycheck, I saw the amount of hours I was able to work ultimately as our source. And that's not our source. Our source is the Lord. And the Lord is able. I'm telling you, it is not going to dim the lights of heaven to command a dog with, you know how those St. Bernards used to have those big wooden things? What were those things called? Barrels? Like up under there, and they'd load it up with water and stuff like that. It wouldn't be hard enough for the Lord to command a St. Bernard in Alaska, right, Brenda? All the way up in Alaska, to come all the way down, all the way on the East Coast, and show up at your front doorstep with a barrel full of money. I believe you'll do it again. Hallelujah. I'm talking, we limit Him, and we only see things according to the flesh, according to the natural, but God says all things are possible to him who believes. So, man, we got to stretch it out, praise God. Some of us need to hit the gym. I'm not talking about the natural gym. I'm talking about the spiritual gym. And start working out our faith on the small stuff, on the little things, and start building ourselves up to the place to where we can start really pumping some spiritual iron. Hallelujah. So, He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then it says, immediately the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Then Jesus said, oh, you're mistaken, sir. You can't really have unbelief if you really believe. These are the things Jesus never said. Jesus did not correct that man's statement right there, did he? Because the man's statement was correct. You can believe and have unbelief attempting to counterbalance it. Do you remember when we looked at the story of Jairus? And do you remember when he got the news that his daughter had already died? And do you remember what Jesus turned to him immediately and said? He said, fear not, only believe. Why would Jesus say only believe if you're not capable of doing two things at once? Fearing and faithing. You're evidently capable of having two different legitimate things going on the inside of you at the same time. And that's ultimately, as we're about to see, what the problem was. Because the unbelief that was present in the situation is what got him. So then it said, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Aren't you so glad this got recorded in the Bible? Why could we not get results? Have you ever had that question before? Lord, we prayed for such and such. We were believing for such and such. Have you ever asked the Lord the question, why did it not happen? We've all asked this question at various different times, right? Well, notice how Jesus responded. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. But I'm so glad it wasn't just Mark who recorded this story, because Mark didn't tell us the whole response. Go over to Matthew 17 and let's look at what else Jesus said when his disciples asked him this question. See, this is why it's important for you to what's called harmonize the Gospels. Which is what? Find the same story as it's told in each place, bring all the stories together, then you have a clear view of everything that happened. Because I'm telling you, if you just read Mark's account there, it'd make it sound like, oh, well, the reason why you couldn't do it is because you haven't prayed and fasted enough. Right? And that's part of it, but it's not all of it. We're going to skip into the middle of this story just for time's sake. Verse 19, Matthew 17, 19. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. Turn to your neighbor and say, good idea. No point in putting egg on our face in front of everybody else. Let's just go to the Lord one-on-one and let him tell us, man, what if Peter would have had that kind of wherewithal in him? I mean, it would have been smarter for him sometimes to just go to the Lord before he opened his mouth in front of everybody, right? So he said, they came to him privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out? So Matthew records the same question. Notice Jesus' response. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Now, that's their answer right there. It was the unbelief that was present in that situation. The unbelief evidently the Father had, and the unbelief evidently the disciples had, and probably everybody else that was going on around there. That's what created the lack of results that they got. Amen? Now again, not everybody's favorite answer. We would love to say, well, God just chose not to do it. It wasn't part of His plan. Or it wasn't God's will. God had some redemptive purpose in this boy being afflicted with this demonic presence. And all the things that religion likes to teach us. But again, we are Bible believers. How many Bible believers I got in here? Do you believe the Scriptures? Well, this is what the Scriptures say. It was because of some unbelief, which we found out unbelief can be present even though faith can be present at the same time. Okay? Important information. So he says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for God. Are y'all awake this morning? What is that last word in that verse? You. These are the words of Jesus for us today. So notice what he's saying right here. It was because of the unbelief, but then he goes into the description of how this faith that gets results works. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, don't automatically read that as it's used in other places to look at it like Jesus was saying, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed. Sometimes he's used the mustard seed before, and he used it to describe the smallest of the seeds they had. Right? Here he doesn't say anything about the size. I believe he's referring to the qualities of mustard seeds. Amen. Again, he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, what will you do? You will say to this mountain. Okay? So if you got faith that works like this mustard seed, you're going to do something. And what are you going to do? Most people think that phrase, you will say to this mountain, says, you will pray to this mountain moving God. Right? I mean, isn't that right? Isn't that how most people respond that even are inclined to trust and believe God for things? Is that they need some results? All right, guys, let's join together and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're able to remove this mountain out of our life. We thank you, God, that you're the answer to all of this. So we're putting our faith in you. We're trusting in you to take care of it because you are able. Nothing's too difficult for you. All things are possible to you, God. So we're trusting and believing you to do it. That's not what this verse says. It says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say, not pray, you will say, not to God, to the mountain. And I'm here to tell you today, praise God, this is how it works. There is a time to pray. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely, there's a time to pray. But there's also a time to say. And you've got to know when it's appropriate to do one versus the other. And I'm going to tell you one of the clear ways to know what the answer is. if it directly involves the devil's activity here on the earth, it's not about praying to God to do something about the devil. You can find only in the New Testament, when it comes to dealing with the devil, only thing you see is that we are the ones with authority. We're the ones that are supposed to be telling and rebuking, amen, in that situation. So when it comes to the devil's activity in something, we're supposed to be doing something about it, not praying to God to do something about it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Trey. Good word today. Again, not everybody's favorite doctrine, as Norval Hayes would say, doctrine. Not everybody's favorite doctrine, but praise God, it is important to get this because this is what gets results. This is when it works, when we do it God's way. Amen. So he said, you will say to this mountain, and that's what's interesting to me is this faith is a mustard seed. Notice he uses to an agricultural culture. He uses this example of seed. And in this example, he's talking about that you will say. And this is why this is so important. Because saying is sowing. And sowing is saying. The way we sow is by speaking faith-filled words into a situation, into an atmosphere, and watching it work. Now, the problem that happens with most of us is this. I mean, we're like the little kids when they have class where they teach them how to plant a seed. I don't know if y'all remember this, but when I was real little in elementary school, we used to, one of the things that we did, I don't know what class it was, we would plant seeds in our own little pot, and we'd put them on the windowsill of the classroom, and we would wait for it to bear its fruit. And as little children, with an incredible amount of impatience in us, we're looking at it every day. Why isn't it coming up? What's taking so long, teacher? Why isn't it happening? That's the way a lot of Christians are. We're waiting for it to come. We'd love to plant our seed today and get our results tomorrow. But how many of you know the kingdom of God doesn't work like that? Kingdom of God says, seed time and harvest. I just had a picture of when Donna was teaching on this, and you had that long string. You remember that? Long string up here. I mean, that's about like it works. All right, so it's speaking it in faith and holding fast to that confession all the way to the other side of the string until it happens. Amen. How long am I supposed to keep believing, Pastor? Well, until you die or it manifests, one. Amen. Just continue to trust God. We're better off to believe God and even go down trying. Praise God. Because it works this way. This is how God says it happens. So he says here, if you got the faith as this mustard seed, he said, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Man, that's interesting. Move from here to there. It's like you're telling an immovable object, seemingly immovable, to move from this place to the other. Who's doing this? We are. Amen. And when we speak to this like this, what happens? And it will move. That's the promise you got. And nothing will be impossible to you. Now, your mountain might look different than my mountain. Like when we lived in Colorado, I'd talk to people from Georgia, and I could effectively say, my mountains are different than your mountains here. How many of you know, we only got little molehills here in Georgia, but there you got real mountains. Well, your mountain might be bigger than mine, but we're not in here to have a testimony and a fight of who's got the bigger mountains. Again, we'd be giving too much attention to the devil in doing so, right? But the fact is, your mountain might be kids struggling with addiction. Your mountain might be chronic back pain. Your mountain might be any of these things. The list goes on and on. Fact is, Jesus said, you will say, if you have this faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And it will happen, and nothing will be impossible to you. Are you familiar with Mark 11, 23 and 24? Some people call it Hagin 11, 23 and 24. Brother Hagin didn't write that, nor did Copeland. Amen. Jesus said it. Amen. And in that situation, when you read it and you go study it out, praying is mentioned once, saying is mentioned three times in those verses. So I would venture to say that maybe we should be doing three times as much saying as praying. You know, when it comes to taking authority and seeing things happen. But look at, notice this, after he says all this, then you have this phrase that we saw over in Mark 9, and I'll close with this. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, when you see this phrase, this kind, what do you automatically assume he's talking about here? Most people think he's automatically talking about this kind of devil or demon that was afflicting this boy. But you know how we know that's not completely true? Because Jesus had already said, all things are possible to you when you believe. That would include this situation, wouldn't it? If it's all things. So it's not just thinking that, oh, there's these higher level devils. There's these gruff, more strong devils that if you're starting to deal with them, you better go fast and pray before you deal with those because they're liable to whip your tail and send you on like the seven sons of Sceva. You remember that over in there? Oh, we adjure you in the name of Jesus that this Paul preaches, come out. And they got whipped and stripped and beat up. That's what a lot of people think, that there's stronger devils than others. And there actually are. There's principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and sage, spiritual host of wickedness. There are levels of devils. But faith, your faith, is potent enough to take care of all of them. The problem is what? The unbelief that's present with the faith. And I'm telling you right there, that shows really where most of the problems are. I've been around the block enough to know and to see that this is probably one of the number one things that hinders us from seeing the results that we want to see. It's not a faith problem, it's an unbelief issue. Okay? And for that reason, well, I believe when he's saying, however, this kind does not come out, he's talking about the demon, but he's specifically talking about this kind of unbelief that hinders us from dealing with these demons. And because of that, we need to be doing some more praying and fasting to get ourselves ready for those situations. Because you remember what I said earlier? The point in this story was, where did Jesus just come down from when this happened? The Mount of Transfiguration. He had just come out of the glory of God. He was in this situation to where now, you reckon Jesus might have been a little extra sensitive to the power and presence of God in his own life from this experience he just had? I can guarantee you. And I believe that's what he's saying here. Do you recall, and I'm not going to have you turn over there, but do you remember in Matthew 26, I believe it's verse 41, where Jesus told his disciples, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they were going to be praying a little bit. Jesus needed to go pray. He was getting himself prepared for what he was about to go through. Do you remember what he told his disciples? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the flesh is, well, he says, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, he's talking to a small group of his disciples there, one of them being Peter. And what we can see from that example is this. That was really encouragement for Peter, for all of them, but we know what Peter did. What happened? Well, he ends up denying the Lord three times. I believe if Peter would have heeded the words of the Master and watched and prayed in that situation for that 1 hour, he could have built himself up to a place to where he's not operating out of the flesh, but out of the spirit, and then when he's tempted to deny the Lord, he has the spiritual strength to resist that temptation. I believe that's one of the reasons why the Lord told him that. But the fact is, what gets us over into the place of operating out of the spirit man, where the faith is, where the hope is, where the results come from, is what? Prayer. Our connection with God. Because why? Prayer is what sensitizes us to the Lord. Have you ever noticed that? In the times where you're actually giving time in the presence of the Lord, you're worshiping God, you're praising God, you're just communing with Him, you ever notice how the unbelief in you is a little less loud? Your faith is a little more sensitive to believing God and quickened in the right direction, because that's how it works. But it ain't just the prayer. You also got to have some fasting. Are you going to talk a little bit about fasting this morning, Pastor? Well, thank God for you. I only got a couple of minutes, so I can't go into a lot of detail. But fasting involves more than just missing a meal. Some people need to be fasting Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and all your other favorite social media things. Some of us need to be fasting television. I used to say it, but this is kind of out of date now, because most of us are embalmed and indoctrinated by American idolatry and Dancing with the Devils. Do we even have those shows anymore? Is American Idol and Dancing with the Stars still out there? But well, you do see what I'm saying, is that we're so sensitive to these things more than we are the Lord. How do you think we're going to really be able to tackle one of these kind of devils when we're then supposed to be believing God? See what I'm saying? So the prayer sensitizes us to God. The fasting desensitizes us to the world. When we got both those things working, ooh, I'm in a place now, man, that when I'm presented with a situation like this, instead of all the unbelief being louder than everything else that's going on, man, the faith is just so strong on me. Because why? I'm in the secret place of the Most High. I'm dwelling in His under His shadow. I'm in a place to where now my faith is just going. It's just like a gully washer just coming on out of me. Because why? I've already been fasting and praying. This is not telling you you need to go fast and pray before you deal with it. It's saying be prepared for when these situations happen by living a lifestyle of fasting and praying. It deals with the unbelief so that the pure and precious faith you have on the inside of you, that you're beginning to work and have active in your life by saying to the mountain, gets better results. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. We shall know the truth when we continue in it, and that truth will make us free. Thank God for stories like this that are put in the Bible. They're put there for us to learn from so that we can get the results Jesus did. And do not be mistaken to think that you can't get the results Jesus did. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do, and even greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Amen? Let's stand on our feet. Come on up, Judy. Well, thank God. Wow, that's wonderful. God is so good to us. He is faithful. He is good. He is a miracle-working God. Yeah, He moves the mountain, but He does it as we speak to the mountain, and nothing is impossible to us. So I want you to close your eyes. You know what your mountain is, and I want you to envision it. It can be children, it can be physical health, it can be financial. There's a lot of different things. Whatever your biggest mountain is that you've been believing God to remove in your life, I believe we've learned some pure ways to see these things removed. So in your own way right now, I want you to make this a memorial before you today. To speak to the mountain and believing that all things are possible to you because you believe. So whatever that is, I want you to speak to it right now. You can say it loud. You can do it under your breath. But speak it. Don't just think it. Speak it. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You right now thanking You that You are our mountain-moving God. But we thank You that You've given us responsibility and the purity of faith on the inside of us to see all things possible in our life, which includes our mountain, our current predicament, to be removed. So right now, we're going to, in obedience to Your Word, speak to our mountain, say to it, and see it removed from our life. So let's do that right now. In Jesus' name, I command you, mountain, to go. In Jesus' name, move from here to there. You're out of my life. You're completely cut off. You're shut off in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am free. I am delivered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, as a mustard seed, comes out of my mouth today, and I say to you, mountain, go in Jesus' name. It doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out thing to where you got to write a whole story. You just speak and you believe it in Jesus' mighty name, and then you hold fast to it and move from that day into a new day to where the Father's are restored to their children, where those children are given back by Jesus to us. I just perceive right now that there's people out there that you that was definitely a rhema word for you, that you have family members even, not just the children, not just the sons or the daughters, but you have other family members that you are believing God to see them come to the Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you've shown us that. And I believe you've revealed that to us, that people in here can see that you see. That you are that God who sees. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful. You're so good, Lord. That you are bringing them in. The Lord of the harvest is bringing them in. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.